I are coming to the chili cook-off, and I'm just going to say it, bring extra, okay? This is all so I could get more food tonight at the chili cook-off. That's why the message is about. No, I'm just kidding. But as we've been going through the Gospel of Luke for the past many, many months, I've been just seeking the Lord and praying, Lord, what do you want to speak to us when we're done? By the way, this series that's coming next called You Asked For It, I'm excited about that. I hope that you guys have some great questions for us. And we got a new series that we're going to be launching in the beginning of the year. But there's a handful of words that I feel like the Lord had for us as a church. And so I've shared a couple of those. And today, my message is called Bring Extra. And I believe this is what the Lord wants to share with us in this time frame. While you guys are turning to Matthew chapter 25, I want to share a quick story about me. See, I'm a kind of guy that I like to bring extra. I like to be prepared. Not as much as some other guys do, but I like to be prepared. And one of my greatest frustrations, challenges, is when we're going somewhere in the car and the fuel tank says we're almost out of gas, I want to stop and get gas. But don't you know that the schedule doesn't always allow that? And these amazing technological advances, these magical computers inside of our dashboards that tell us how far we can drive until we run out of gas. Well, this last summer, it was last summer, my wife and I and the kids, we get in the car and we're going on a vacation and we got a big heavy load and we're towing a trailer and it's a big, heavy, hot day. It was like, I think 110 degrees that day. It was like the hottest day ever. So we were fleeing from Simi Valley and we were fleeing from the general area and getting to the lake. And we're headed out of town and in our car is all of our stuff and all of our gear and all of my kids and you get the picture, it's heavy. And my car says, I've got X number of miles until we're out of gas. And I said, oh, I can make it. You ever have that statement? Oh, I can make it. I looked at how many miles we have before us in the gas station. I can make it there. What I didn't take into account was the fact that we're going up a hill on 110 degree days with a full load, towing a trailer. And I was like, so you can kind of guess what took place. Somewhere along the grapevine, as we're headed up this big steep hill on our way to Gorman, man, we ran out of gas. And so off on the side of the road with no air conditioning, because that takes gas, we are there with no gas because we tried to run on empty and it bit us. You ever had that happen? Anyone ever run out of gas before? Come on. This is not an honor. This is maybe a shameful day, but that's okay. There's grace in the house. I've confessed my sins to you. And today I want to talk about bringing extra, because there's nothing worse than running out. If you've ever run out of fuel, maybe you weren't driving. A friend was driving. It wasn't me that was driving. And that was the question. I looked over at my wife and said, did you fill up the gas tank? She said, no, I thought you filled it up. It's always the blame game. But we all know what it's like to run out of anything that we need. And so today, we're going to read a story that Jesus talks about bringing extra so that we don't run out. And so it's from Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read 13 verses of this story. And it's called the parable of the 10 virgins or the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, as some translations put it, which I think is more correct. And here's how it goes. Chapter 25 of Matthew, starting in verse 1, says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins or 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps. They took their lamps and they went to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. Say, no oil.
No oil.
They took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with them, with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, they said, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. They must have had a little bit of oil, but they didn't have enough. Our lamps are going out, verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Now, I want to give you a little bit of backstory. Jesus has just given another parable about how he was going to be coming again, and no one would know the time or the hour. And so as Jesus sets the stage for this parable, he's telling the disciples, he's telling us that there's going to be a moment where he returns again, and many are going to be unexpected. They're going to be caught off guard when he comes again. And he gives us this parable of the bridesmaids. The ESV uses the word virgins, but it doesn't really make a lot of context to us. They're really bridesmaids. And I'll give you a little bit about this backstory of this, because this is a ceremony that's a little different than us. Some of us have in our minds what a wedding ceremony looks like, right? Forget the groom, he's unimportant. But when the bride comes in, that's when the music starts playing, right? And that's when everyone stands to their feet and there's this royal procession and everyone oohs and ahs, right? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That's the moment. When the guy's there, it's like, oh, well, the guy's up front, no big deal. But when the bride comes in, there's something special. Well, in Hebrew culture, it was slightly reversed. The bride was waiting for her groom to enter in. And the groom would enter in, and typically this would take place in the evening. And so they would come in with this beautiful procession of torches or candles or lanterns such as this. And they would come in with great circumstance. Instead of "Here Comes the Bride," there was a different song that probably would have been played. But it was this beautiful ceremony. You can imagine, we always love to see that moment when the bride and the groom see each other on their wedding day, right? You ever been to a wedding? That's the moment we love to see. And this was that moment when the groom would come in with the bridesmaids. They would walk him in with this procession of lights. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about, that there's these bridesmaids, and half of them are wise, and half of them are foolish. And those are the only two things that we get an opportunity to see, but they often carried lamps just like this, because when they would go, they would bring their lamps, and it would be dark. And so they'd have their lamps to light the way. And as they'd go, they would light up the groom as he came into the place where the wedding feast was to be held. And it was a beautiful thing. Great job, Lisa. That was awesome. But here's the big deal, guys. If you're taking notes, the first fill in the blank is this. God wants his people to be more than just filled up. He wants his people to have extra. Say extra. God wants us to be a people that have extra. See, these bridesmaids, they had just one job to do, and it was to light the way for the groom. Once they got the groom to the altar, to the ceremony, to the feast, their job was over. But that was their job. But God wants his people to have more than enough. He wants us to have extra oil as we go into the places that he sends us to. And again, there's just two categories that Jesus outlines for us. So it's pretty simple. He says, there's some who are wise, and they're prepared, they're ready. But then there's others that are foolish, and they're not prepared. Though they might have lamps filled with oil, just as I've got a lamp here filled with oil, they don't bring enough for the unexpected. They don't bring enough extra to get them through to what's going to take place. And see, the thing about it is this. I filled this lamp up last night. You could say I was burning the midnight oil. Maybe I was a little bit. I was burning the midnight oil last night, and by the way, that's where that expression comes from, but I'm burning the midnight oil, and I was looking at this lamp thinking, I wonder how long I can burn this before it runs out, and I filled it up all the way, and it's taken a long time for it to burn out. It's taken quite a long time, but I thought, I don't want to bring it to church and give this illustration and run out of oil, so I brought some extra oil just in case, because I thought, what a coincidence that would be. But see, when I come with my lamp filled up, I'm ready, right? Sometimes we think about this parable and we think they weren't ready at all. They were just slackers. No, but they brought their lamp and it said their lamps were going out around midnight, which meant that their lamps were already burning. They had oil in their lamps, but they didn't bring any extra. In other words, they were filled up, they were topped off, but they didn't have any extra margin. They didn't have a flask of oil to carry with them, as was the custom, just in case they ran out of oil. And I'll just say this, that a filled up lamp will not sustain you forever. Sometimes we have this idea about God, that when I come to God, I get filled up. I have this great mountaintop experience. I'm filled up, Lord. I'm done. I'll just check out for a while, Lord. But the Lord says, I got to bring some extra, because we never know exactly what's going to take place as we're waiting for that groom to come through the door. We never know what's going to come right around the corner. See, you might have a little left over after going to men's retreat for our men that went to our conference last week. You might have a little oil left over from the sermon that you heard, or maybe from your time in the scriptures. But man, we have to have extra as we go out into this world, because we never know what we're going to face. See, the fuel gauge might tell you you're going to get all the way to Gorman, but you don't account for all the stuff that you're going to experience along the way. So you got to bring some extra. By the way, I got a gas can. I'm going to start carrying with some extra fuel in it. I'm just confessing that. Yeah, I want to do that. But here's how some of y'all drive. There's two kinds of people in this world. I won't tell you which one I am and which one my wife is, but we're opposites. I'll just say that much. But maybe you can identify. One is on empty saying, I can go 10 more miles. And the other one is on three quarters saying, we should get gas now. I've seen some of y'all drive, and I know what kind of people you are. But you can self-identify which one of those you are. There's two kinds of people. But here's the deal. Some of us are driving around on empty. And your cars might be full of gas. You might have a full tank of fuel. You might have all the resources you need in case of an emergency, which, by the way, a lamp like this wouldn't be a bad idea right about now with all the winds and the electricity going out across our state. But some of you are filled up in the physical, but in the spiritual, you're empty. Or maybe you got a half tank. You're good. I can get through it. But you don't have any extra. You don't have any extra oil to sustain you when things go the way that you don't expect them to. And I just want to say this, very often in the scriptures, we have this understanding that the oil, the anointing oil, is representative of the Holy Spirit. And we see it over and over again in the scriptures. I could read you account after account where this word anointing is used, and it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit's pouring out on somebody or something. And it's a beautiful symbol that's used almost interchangeably, this word anointing and this word for Holy Spirit. And to anoint is literally this. When we see that word, by the way, I don't know about you, but I don't anoint my salad with salad dressing. Right? I don't use that kind of language. Some of y'all do. You're more holy than I am. But I don't say anointing all the time. But some of y'all, I'm just anointing the salad for the Lord, right? You're pouring it on. But to anoint literally means this. Here's a dictionary definition. To pour oil or ointment onto a person or object. And often when we think of the word oil, we're thinking of like, you know, that black gold that they find in Bakersfield. You know what I mean? That black gold in Saudi Arabia. No, when the Bible talks of oil, they're speaking of oil from the olive oil. In fact, the Garden of Gethsemane means oil press. And that's a garden of where there's olives that are growing, and they press the oil. And oil was used in Hebrew culture for a lot of different things. They used olive oil, first of all, for their salads. They'd anoint their salads with that olive oil. But they'd also use it for other things. They'd use it as oil for their lamps. They'd burn it and use it in their lamps to light their way. They'd use it for medicinal purposes. It said that after they'd bathe, often they'd anoint their skin with oil. Some of y'all put some lotion on after you take a shower. It's the same idea. We want to anoint ourselves with that oil. But they would use oil for a lot of different things. And in fact, the scriptures, the Bible says, has over 200 references for oil. None of them have to do with petroleum, by the way. They all have to do with oil, olive oil, or something similar to it. But there's often a close association with the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you a couple examples of that here in just a minute. But every time we see a prophet or a priest or a king, and they are anointed for their service, they're commissioned to be a king, they're commissioned to be a priest, and every time there's oil that's used to anoint them. And it's very symbolic as God uses those things. In fact, we see it anointing with oil and the Holy Spirit empowering going hand in hand. In fact, we'll turn to 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. You can turn there with me if you'd like. But 1 Samuel 16, 13, Samuel is anointing. He's declaring David to be the king. He's still a boy, but he's declaring him to be the king. And this is what it says in 1 Samuel 16, 13. It says, then Samuel took a horn of oil, say oil, and he anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And what happened? The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And then Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord came on David as he was anointed as this new king. Had gone through his brothers and they said, not him, not him, not him. That's the one. The Lord says, I want you to anoint that one. And he pours the oil on him. And there's something of God's Spirit that comes with along with that anointing. It's a symbol of what God was about to do in David's life. And we see that David walked with the Lord. He wasn't perfect, but he walked with the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. And we saw the Spirit of God go with David throughout the rest of his days as he followed God and tried to serve the Lord. But not only was David, not only was he anointed with oil, but even we see this of Jesus. Jesus is empowering with the Holy Spirit is also associated with this metaphor of anointing. In fact, the prophecy about Jesus from Isaiah 61, which if you want to look it up, it's also quoted by Jesus in Luke chapter 4. I'm going to read Isaiah. But Jesus, as he stands in the synagogue one Sabbath, he picks up the scroll and he reads this to the people. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I'm going to stop right there. But we have this understanding that Jesus was, he was anointed. He was anointed to do the work that the Father had sent him to accomplish. We understand that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and that same offer is available to us. I want to ask you this question, because it's easy to get real technical and theological here. Do you have enough oil? Do you have enough of the Holy Spirit to accomplish, as Jesus was able to say, he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the captives. In other words, Jesus was saying, the Father has given me the Holy Spirit so that I can do what he's made me to do, what I've been sent to do. And I ask you the same question. Do you have enough oil? Is your lamp filled up? Or is it half full? Or is it running on empty? And more to the point, do you have extra supply? Are you able to tap into the resources of heaven to accomplish what God has called you to do? Because here's one thing I know about life. It never goes the way we want it to. It never goes according to my plan, at least. Maybe y'all are better planners than I am, but I make a plan and it never happens exactly the way I planned it, right? I might be a good planner. I might look back and say, okay, what happened then? What can we expect now? It never happens that way. And I never know when I'm gonna need some extra oil. When I'm going to need an extra flask of oil to get me through a season of hardship or trial or difficulty, because life doesn't go according to plan. And here's the deal, if you're taking notes, Jesus is coming soon. And I ask you this question, will you be prepared when he arrives? Will you be ready? And this is the question that all of us have to answer. Whether we've walked with Jesus since we were knee-high to a grasshopper, as they say in Oklahoma, or whether we've never been to church before and this is the first time we're hearing it, we have to understand and recognize and ask ourselves this question, am I ready? Am I like those wise bridesmaids? Am I ready? That when Jesus comes, if he were to come back today, I'd be ready for him. That's an important question. See, the reality is this, that Jesus is coming. And this parable gives light to this idea that there's going to come a day when I think the church wakes up. When people that have been going to church for years, they wake up and they realize, man, what am I doing? My lamp is empty. I thought I was getting ready for Jesus, but I stopped. I didn't prepare myself. I'm not ready. I don't have a vital relationship to God. We're going to talk next week about having a source, being connected, abiding in the things of God. But there's some that are going to wake up in that day and say, oh man, I missed it. Friends, I don't want you to miss it. I want you to be ready. I want you to have extra oil for the things that God wants to do. See, we cannot wait till he's here. We cannot wait until he's at the door to get ourselves ready. Some of us are like, you know what? I'll get right with God later, right? I'll start reading my Bible tomorrow. I'll do something for the Lord. I'll start making a difference with my life next week. Once my schedule clears, I'm just in a season, right? We say that, I'm in a season. It's too hard right now. This season, once it passes, then I'll do it. Then I'll do something for the Lord. And I just want to say to you, friends, today is the season. Now is the time that we start making a difference for the things of God, that we start filling up our lamps with oil and we start filling up our flasks with some extra oil, because we need to have extra, because we don't know what's going to take place in the days ahead. Today is the time. See, we've got to prepare ourselves for the most important day in our story. And again, the Bible is clear. One day each one of us will stand before Almighty God and give an account for how we've lived our lives and what we've done. And what will matter won't be how many good works we accomplished. It won't be how much money we gave or any of those things. The answer to the question will be, what have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your trust in him? Have you abided in him? That's the important question. See, at the end of that story, the groom says, I don't know you. And that's the important thing, that God wants us to know him. He wants us to have that intimacy and relationship with himself. He wants us to not only know about him, but be known by him. He wants us to have this relationship. That's the beauty of the gospel. But I wonder what would happen. See, I read this story, and Jesus is talking to us about being prepared. But I wonder what would happen if those wise bridesmaids would have brought a little extra. You know what I mean? They brought not just enough for themselves, but they brought a little extra to share. I wonder what would happen to God's church if we'd be a people that had extra. That we didn't just bring, you know, a little small one, but we brought a big old thing of extra along with us that we could share with others. See, Jesus is coming soon. And I ask you this question, will you have enough to share when he arrives? And this is an important question. I have been just praying about this message and praying about what I wanted to share with you today. And I feel like God is calling us to be a people that have extra, that have enough to share with others. See, we think of generosity simply as being something I pull out my wallet to be generous. But I wonder, do you have enough extra oil that you can share with others? That your life is so filled up and you're so overflowing that you can share with others. See, I believe we're to be a people that have more than enough oil to share. The problem is that some of us, we have this poverty mentality. I don't have enough. If I give it to you, I won't have any. So I'll just get enough for me. I'll go to church. I'll read my Bible. Maybe I'll listen to a sermon and I'll fill my tank up. And then I'm going to go home and sit on my couch. And I'm going to do my life and do my thing instead of thinking of how can I have enough to have extra to give away to others? How can I use my life to make a difference? What would happen if God were to bless you with extra? And this is a question, don't matter what we're talking about. If God were to give you extra resources, would he be able to use you as a conduit of his grace to bless others? If God were to bless you with a bigger giftedness, would he be able to trust you with that gift so that you could use it to give it away to others? By the way, I always love to see when people that are famous, even weirdos that are famous, they give their lives to the Lord. I don't know if you've seen this album that just dropped by Kanye West. I think, praise the Lord, that man met Jesus. I don't know if his conversion is genuine. I don't know about it. God knows, but I say, praise the Lord for that. See, if God were to bless you with a bigger gift, he was going to give you some extra. Would he be able to trust you to be a conduit of his grace to share with others? Or would you say, I don't got enough to share? See, I was thinking about that this week. See, we went backpacking this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday up to the mountains. And I learned something about California. By the way, I had to light this because I just wanted to start a fire when I got home. But we learned that the state of California is flammable. Does anyone notice that? That we're on fire everywhere. And so about five days or so before we're going on this backpacking trip, we hear the awful report that there's no fire allowed in the Angeles Forest. I thought, well, how am I going to have a campfire? There's no fire. How can you camp without a campfire? And then I started thinking, oh, man, I had plans to make a steak. I want to eat steak when I backpack. I can't cook a steak without fire, right? And I'm like, okay, fine, we'll eat the MREs. Y'all ever eaten an MRE? They're actually not bad. I was okay with it. But about 24 hours before we go to leave, I have this startling revelation that my first thing I do every morning when I wake up when I'm camping is I start the fire and I boil the water for the sacred elixir known as coffee. You know what I'm talking about? And I had this realization that there's not going to be any hot coffee. I'm going to have lukewarm coffee if I have anything at all. And so I went to Starbucks. I went to the grocery store. I went everywhere. I got this little instant coffee. It's not the same. But instant coffee is used. It's made to be used with hot water. So I got crunchy coffee the first day because it didn't dissolve. And I was chewing on, this is great. Turkish coffee. But as I looked around the other men, and some of them were aching and painful, no coffee, they were having their things, and I had prepared myself, but you know what? I'm backpacking. I got to trim down the weight. So I went through the box, and I left all of them at home except for what I needed. And so as I sit around, and these men are lamenting, I don't have any extra. I can't share. And so I'm drinking my coffee over in the corner, trying not to be rude about it, but I got sharing with you. I didn't bring any extra. And so I didn't, but my MRE had some coffee. I'll give you that. But my special coffee, I didn't have any extra. And I was thinking, as I had been preparing to teach this message about bringing extra, how ironic it was that even as I went off into the woods with these men that I loved, that I didn't bring any extra. And I felt bad, not bad enough to share, but I felt bad because I got to keep up with those kids. They're crazy. But I wonder, do you have extra to share? It's a question. God, do I have extra? Not just coffee, not just my resources, not just my pocketbook, but God, do I have extra that I can share? Can I use my life to make a difference? Or am I like that pastor guy when he's up backpacking with his coffee and I'm just stingy? God, I'll take what you've given me and I'll receive it over in this corner. And the Lord reminded my heart, I want to be the kind of person that brings extra. I want to be the one that says, oh, I got extra, brother. Let me cover you. I got some coffee for you. I mean, that guy's dead somewhere. He fell over. He didn't have any coffee. So we carried him out. He's okay now. But we got to bring extra. I ask you this question. Are you ready for Jesus' return? If Jesus were to come this afternoon or tonight or at midnight, in the middle of the night when you least expect it, would you be ready for him? This is a question that we have to ask ourselves. And this isn't a works question. It isn't, did I do enough for you, God? It's, God, have I trusted in your son, Jesus? Have I lived my life to make a difference? Have I lived my life as if I was not my own? I am not my own anymore, but I've been bought with a price. Do I live my life for you? Totally surrendered to you, God, or am I huddled in a corner saying, I got what I need, and that's enough? Or do I live my life as one who's got extra? See, that is the real extra. I'm going to close with this story it's actually from Luke chapter 10. We're going to read it in a second. Actually, I'm not going to read the whole story. It's a story that some of you are familiar with, the story of the Good Samaritan. And I believe some folks that aren't even in a church, they recognize this story. And it's the story of a man who's going on a journey, and he gets mugged, he gets beat up, and they leave him half dead on the side of the road, and he's wounded and he can't help himself and he's stuck. He's trapped. He's just lying there helpless and hopeless. But thankfully, along comes a priest. And the priest comes along and he sees this man lying on the side of the road, and I don't know his circumstance. Jesus doesn't give us his details, but he doesn't have any extra time for this man. He doesn't have any extra resource, any extra compassion. And so he crosses the other side of the road and passes him. This man's still lying there, hurting and broken. But thankfully, a Levite comes along, a religious guy, a guy who goes to church all the time, and he sees that same man. But you know what? Man, I'm on my way to an important meeting. I don't have any extra time. I don't have any extra anything. I ain't got no extra for you. He crosses the other side of the road as well. Along comes a Samaritan. Now, by the way, the Jews and the Samaritans were enemies with one another. And Jesus says, there's a Samaritan that comes along, but he is a little different than the other men. He's got extra. He's got extra resource. He's got extra time. He's got extra availability to help. He's got extra compassion as well. I want to read this part to you. In Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 33, it says this, "But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds," read those words with me, "pouring on oil." He was pouring on oil onto his wounds and wine. "And then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Then the next day he took out 2 denarii and he gave it to the innkeeper." And I'm going to stop right there. See, this man had extra. He had extra time. He was available. He had extra resource. He had extra oil with him. And he poured the oil on to help with this man's wound. And not only that, but he put him on his donkey, his animal, and he carried him to an inn. He said, "I want you to take care of him until I come back. I still have somewhere to go to, just like the Levite, just like the priest. I have somewhere to go, but when I come back, if I owe you anything else, here's a couple bucks. If I owe you anything else, I'll pay for it when I get back." He had extra. He had extra oil. He had extra time. He had extra compassion. He had extra resource. And as a result, he was used powerfully to make a difference. See, Jesus said this in response to a man that said, "Yeah, I know I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself, but who's my neighbor?" See, sometimes we wonder, God, how can I make a difference with my life? And sometimes the answer is no further than next door. It's no further than the coworker that stands in front of us. It's no further than the person that we see along the roadway of life. And if we go and we've got extra, we're not running on empty. We're not just, "Man, I'm just getting barely through this. I'm running on fumes." Then we can slow down and have extra enough to share with others. See, that man had extra. That's why we have this story of the Good Samaritan. I wonder, friend, do you have extra? Do you have extra oil for your lamp? Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes as we respond to the Lord this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you call us to be a people that have extra. That you want to pour out your spirit in our lives in such a way that we'll be filled up. Lord, we know that we can't give away what we don't have, but some of us are running empty. So Lord, today we invite you, Spirit of the living God, to fill us up. Fill us up, Lord God, with more of you. And Lord, don't just fill our lamps, but fill our flasks with oil as well, that we might go out of this place with extra. Lord, make us like that Samaritan man, that man that maybe some didn't think would do the right thing, would make a difference with his life. But Lord, would you do that with our lives? Would you use our lives to make a difference? God, would you give us extra today? Extra anointing of your Holy Spirit today. Would you pour out on us everything that we need? Somebody needs to hear this word today. Hear the words of Jesus spoken over to you today. Jesus said in Matthew 7, he says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened." And Jesus said, if you are evil and know how to give your children good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Lord Jesus, today we're asking for more oil. We're asking you to fill us up, Lord, for the journey that we can't foresee in front of us, but you know what's right around our corner. Lord, you know about the hills. You know about the mountains we'll face. You know about the heat we're going to endure. You know about the things that we can't even fathom. Lord, where we've been driving on empty, we say, Lord, fill us up. And fill us up abundantly more than we even think we'll need today. Give us extra that we might be able to pour it out, that we might be able to share that oil with others today. God, we thank you for that word. Today we seek you. Today, Lord, with our hands stretched out in front of us, we say, God, we need to receive from you. We need you to fill us up. where we've been empty, or maybe we've even been topped off, but we don't have any extra. God, would you fill us up with extra today, that we might be able to pour out that oil and share it with a brother or sister in need, just as that good Samaritan did. God, give us extra. We don't want extra so that we'll be gluttonous, so that we can hoard it away, but Lord, help us to be the most generous people on the face of the planet. As you pour out extra into our laps, Lord, may we use it to make a difference in our world. Give us more of your Spirit, Lord God. Not so that we can hoard it, but so we can give it away. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Today, we're asking for an outpouring of heaven. Holy Spirit, fill us up today. Give us everything we need for the journey ahead. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who gives us not just what we need, not just enough, but you give us extra. So, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to create for ourselves some flasks that we could carry that extra oil. And whatever practical dimension that means in our lives, God, give us extra this day, we pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are here among us. We thank you, Lord, that you fill us up with your oil. With every head bowed and every eye still closed, perhaps you're here within the sound of my voice, and you're not ready for that day that Jesus comes again. Maybe you're not ready that if he were to come today, you'd say, I'm not filled up. I don't have any oil. I haven't put my trust in him. I don't want to leave this space without giving someone an opportunity to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive salvation in his name, because there's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. The word declares, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can have assurance that on that day, you don't have to be afraid of his coming in the middle of the night. You can have assurance. So perhaps that's you this morning. If you've never done that, you've never crossed that line of faith and said yes to this free saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you never confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, or maybe you did a long time ago and you've wandered far from him and you say, God, it's time for me to come home. If that's you today, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you just lift up your hands right where you are? I want to agree with someone in the house today if that's you. I never want to leave this space without making room. If anyone wants to do that, from the front to the back, anyone today, God bless you. Father, we thank you that you are the God who fills us up. That, Lord, when we seek for you, we find you. But, Lord, I thank you that you didn't just leave us on our own to search for you, but you came and sought us out. And you're standing right before each one of us. And you're asking us to seek you, to look to you, to set our face on your face, to search for you, that you might fill us up with everything that we'll need for the journey. Lord God, we thank you that you're the God who fills us up. Lord, may we leave this place filled with your Spirit, and more so, would you leave us with extra. Lord, give us eyes to see as the Samaritan saw. Eyes to see those places where the extra oil that you poured on us, Lord God, isn't for us, but it's meant to be given away. Give us eyes to see how we can use our gifts and our talents and our resources and all the things that you've put in our hands to make an eternal difference. Lord, we thank you that you're the God who gives us every good and every perfect gift. Fill us afresh today, we pray, Lord Jesus, that as we go, we might make an eternal difference. In your name.